Welcome to Choose Life, the radio teaching ministry of author, speaker, and Bible teacher, Deborah Ross. It's no secret that traditional marriages are under attack. Besides the legal challenges to marriage, social, financial, and even family pressures make enjoying a God-centered marriage difficult. Today, Deborah gives us the first of two teachings she appropriately calls Advice for a Healthy Marriage. Now, with more, here's Deborah Ross.
Today we're going to talk about practical and biblical advice for a healthy marriage. You know, the other day I was awakened by a phone call from a new wife and mom. She was desperate for help in her marriage. And as I began to minister to her, she made a comment to me that struck me as being significant, yet it was a need that I think all wives have all over the world. And her comment was, "No one has ever told me that before." Wow! So this young wife and mom calls me. She's in despair. She needs prayer. She needs advice. And when I give her the biblical answer, the biblical truth for that, she says, "No one has ever told me that before." And so I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about the dire need for spiritual mothers to share personal knowledge that perhaps was never offered by natural mothers, either because of their own personal failures or maybe because of their lackadaisical approach to mother-daughter discussions. For this reason, I'm offering my Mother in Zion series, is what I call this. And this is going to be just practical tips that I pray will help wives, both young and old, to cultivate a healthy marriage that will truly make it unto the end. Biblical and practical advice for a healthy marriage. And the first thing I want to talk about is your mate comes before your children. Your mate comes before your children. Never allow your children to come between you and your spouse. Remember, a healthy marriage makes the children happy, because their confidence will be increased when they live in peace knowing that mom and dad love each other and have respect for one another and express appropriate affection toward each other. Plus, children learn by example. As you and your spouse show forth a selfless, unconditional love that gives high priority to times of privacy, hand-holding, hugging, laughter, and respect for one another, your children are learning what a healthy marriage looks like, and they will more likely aim to have a healthy marriage like yours for themselves one day. Children can be very demanding, and while we should aim to be great parents, absolutely, that is a goal. We want to be great parents. We should never let our marriage suffer from the pressures of parenting. So, the first thing I want you to think about today is that your mate, your spouse, comes before your children. Your spouse comes before your children. And together, the two of you will raise your children in unity and in one accord, in spirit. In spirit. Song of Solomon 6:3 says, "I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine." You know, we've got to keep our marriage alive, keep it romantic, keep it, you know, the way it was when we first met each other. And that is such a precious picture for our children to see so that they can grow up to model that same marriage in their life. Okay, here's the second thought I have for you today. Don't get into the habit of sleeping in separate beds. Yeah, it's not healthy for a married couple to sleep separately. So often I hear of parents sleeping with their children rather than sleeping with each other. And in my opinion, it is better to make pallets beside of mom and dad's bed occasionally than to make a habit of sleeping with the children. This can be something that you just accidentally get into because children are demanding. You know, raising children is not easy. And children, they have their little things they like for mom and dad to come sleep with them. But we've got to prioritize our marriage where Our relationship with our husband, our relationship with our wife has to be of high value. It has to be of number one priority. And so, yes, we want to be good parents. Yes, we want to make our children feel safe and secure. And if it means making a pallet beside of the bed sometimes, or if it means maybe laying down with the children while they fall asleep and then getting up, but we need to make sure that we are sleeping with our spouse and not with our children. If we want to keep our marriages together, we've got to be intentional. We've got to be intentional. And 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, "Defraud not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." You see, the enemy will get in if we allow him to, if we allow ourselves to not be intimate with our husband, with our wife, then the enemy's going to come in because that's what he's out to do. He's out to destroy your family. So we've got to make sure that we protect our family by being intentional about intimacy, about private time with our spouse. So I want to encourage you, don't get in the habit of sleeping in separate beds. Now, the next point I've got for you today is this. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed angry. Husband and wife, you need to come to a place of peace before going to sleep. Now, this may mean that you will need to apologize. And, you know, it's not about if you're right or wrong. It's about apologizing. So you may even think that you have to apologize for something that you're right about. And you might think, well, that's not fair. I'm the one in the right. Why am I apologizing? But the goal is not to win. Rather, the goal is to have a reasonable discussion over your conflicts and then come to some type of peaceable solution at the end of the occasion. And if your mate is not being rational about coming to a peaceable climax in this issue, then simply finish with, "I love you." Just finish with, "I love you." You know, when I think about women and men, lots of times men can just kind of like stuff it and roll over and snore, you know, but women can't do that so good. Women want to finish it out. So I just want to encourage you that we should not go to bed angry. And let's see what the Bible has to say about this. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not." It says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So God doesn't want us to go to bed angry. He doesn't want us to wake up with the same anger, the same problem, the same dysfunction, whatever was going on the night before. He wants us to wake up in peace. So he wants us to go to bed in peace and to wake up in peace. So let's don't go to sleep angry with each other. Let's finish the conversation and apologize. And sometimes you have to agree to disagree and just say, "I love you. I love you." Okay, so here's another point. Facebook, email, text, phone conversations, and on-the-job relationships should never be of intimate nature with the opposite sex. Never. In other words, if you would be embarrassed for your spouse to see it or hear it, don't do it. Let me say that again. If you would be embarrassed for your spouse to see it or hear it, don't do it. And if you are carrying on a conversation that has any implications of being intimate in nature, run the other way. Run the other way. Run. Many marriages end in divorce because of jealousy or even adultery simply because couples fail to adhere to sound practices concerning relationships with the opposite sex. Friend, we've got to be intentional about our marriages. We have got to say, you know what? I'm not going to play with fire because I could get burned. So if there's anything going on that you sense that is not right, the best thing to do is get away. Do not entertain those thoughts. Don't entertain that company. Get away. And don't let social media, Facebook, email, text, phone, whatever you're doing, Twitter, all these different things, don't let those things cause you to do something in secret that you would be ashamed of in public. So let's think about that. And Proverbs 6:24 says, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And here's another point for you, number five. You must be intentional about your marriage. And I've said this so many times already. And this means you must intentionally carve out date nights, time for intimate conversations, times of selfless servanthood and sacrifice. Couples need to hold high respect for their common goal of making it until death do us part with a relationship that is exciting and new, not old and worn out. Be intentional about spending quality time with each other. You know, it's so easy to let the busyness of our lives, I mean, life is busy. And if we allow it to, it will just completely rob us of downtime with our spouse. So we can't let the busyness of our life rob us of the precious moments with our spouse that bring lasting memories of love and laughter. And Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So, wife, be intentional about doing your husband good and not evil all the days of her life, of his life, excuse me. Be intentional about that. Be intentional about your marriage. Okay, point number six, time with your friends. Now, time with your friends of the same sex is a good thing in moderation. However, too often I'll hear of women or men taking vacations with their friends, leaving their spouse behind. Now, occasional church retreat is okay, you know, but I'm talking about people that just jet off here and there and everywhere to Vegas and who knows where with their friends, and they leave their spouse behind. And, you know, my grandmother always taught me this, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So, honey, if you don't want your husband jetting off to Vegas, then you don't need to be jetting off to Vegas, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And the thing is that, you know, so often in young marriages, money is too precious to spend it. Actually, time and money, vacation time and money is too precious to spend it away from your spouse. So I want to encourage you to take vacations together, to take vacations together. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season and a time, and there is a time to be with your spouse. So I just want to encourage you with these biblical and practical words of advice for your marriage, a way to have a healthy marriage. And again, this young lady that called me on the phone, she said, no one ever told me that before. So I thought, hey, I'll share this with my radio audience, and I pray that it blesses you. I pray that it will strengthen you and encourage you and guide you on your journey to a healthy marriage. Because God wants you and your family. He wants you whole. He loves you. He has good gifts for you. And we have to do our part. So find me at DeborahRossMinistries.org and write to me. If you'll write to me with your best love offering, I will send you a copy of my book, The Save It Marriage Bible Study.
Choose Life has been paid for by the friends and partners of Deborah Ross Ministries. Thank you for your support. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching with author and speaker Deborah Ross. Until then, go to DeborahRossMinistries.org for more encouraging messages, plus books, CDs, articles, partnership information, and how to stay connected with Deborah. Choose Life is committed to strengthening families, encouraging faith, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Find out more at DeborahRossMinistries.org.